Well, let's go back to Isaiah 29. And let's think about that for a wee while. And this is our theme today. So, of course, Isaiah takes us through all kinds of different themes. But very much we've seen the theme in the last couple of messages, and today and next week as well, of a country that is far from God, and what that's like, and what it's like for the church in a country that is far from God. And this is our theme, the sure foundation for your times. It comes from this chapter in Isaiah that we read yesterday, the Lord is exalted, and so on. And it says that he will be the sure foundation for your times. And that's what we need. Because let me begin by asking if you think that our society has an agreed sure foundation. By that I mean, do you think that there's a consensus throughout our society that this is why we believe this is right and why we believe this is wrong? Is there a consensus? Does everyone agree that there's a basis from which we can determine whether things are right and wrong or wrong? And I don't think that we can see that anymore in our society. In the past, definitely in this country, just even the basic belief in God, and added to that the Christian faith and the teaching of the Bible, provided a consensus basis in which the society could proceed to make laws and to determine what was right and what was wrong. And that is our heritage, that's our history. We saw it recently coming out again in the coronation of King Charles III, and most recently in his receiving the crown of Scotland. And the ceremonies that were associated with these were rich with the Christian faith. But as they were proceeding, particularly as I was watching the receiving of the crown ceremony, I was thinking that for many people in this country, the kind of underpinning of this whole ceremony in the Christian faith is not relevant to them in their thinking, and they are disconnected from not only the Christian faith and God, but even just from the past and from history. And they're actually on this island now that is called modern society. Or maybe, no, it's not an island. It's like I said in my prayer, it's like a raft. It's floating, and it's just going with whatever currents there are in thinking. And who knows where it's going to founder or where it's going to wash up. We don't really have in our society anyway that sure foundation that we need. And today you and I have to say about our own lives whether we have a sure foundation. You know, do you have a good basis on which you decide, well, this is right and this is wrong? And not just like what people say, well, this is right for me, or this is wrong for me. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about this is right. It's right for everyone. And this is wrong. And it's wrong for everyone. You know, because if everyone is the dictator of their own morality, then they can't say that what they think is right for you. Although they might try to. And that might be part of their right. What's right for me, I want to make right for everyone. And you see the confusion there. But for us as Christians, if it's right for me, it's because God says it's right, and so it's right for everyone. And if it's wrong, it's wrong because God says, and it's wrong for everyone. These are the kind of foundations that we need for our lives and for society. So let's just have a quick look back over where we've got to from Isaiah. And this is what we've been reading in the past week. It's certainly not the best known part of Isaiah, chapters 28 to 35, but you could put it under this kind of overall theme, human schemes and God's plan. And so we've seen passages of judgment on Israel, the kingdom to the north of where Isaiah is, on Jerusalem, the city where Isaiah is, and Judah, the country which has Jerusalem as its capital. We've seen judgment on those who want to rely on Egypt. Remember, they want to rely on Egypt to protect them from the big threat of the day. And the big threat of the day is Assyria coming down from the north. and relying on Egypt instead of relying on God is not a good idea. Then there's chapters about the need for a sure foundation in our times, the need for the reign of God in our lives. And then judgment on the nations, another pastor judgment, and then the passage we read today, which is a very beautiful passage. I think Lindsay describes one of the most beautiful and joyous passages in the Bible, the joy of the redeemed. This is looking forward to better days. If you keep going, then tomorrow for 4 days we're in solid history in Isaiah, in the sense that instead of it being prophecy rooted in the history, it's actually just a description of some historical events. Chapters 36, 37, 38, 39. So look out for that, because it's a complete change of gear. It's history that we're looking at. Hezekiah the king, and some incidents from his life. Fascinating. I've been studying that this week for next Sunday, and it's absolutely, absolutely fascinating. But anyway, back to today, and back to Isaiah 29. And this thing, that there is nothing new under the sun. That what is happening in our society today is not some kind of novel thing. It's not like how people have never been in this place before. You'll find, as we look here today in chapter 29, it's a description of our society today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the passage we read, and we're going to just see how what Isaiah describes of his own day, the conditions of a country that has lost God, are describing our country today. And so here's the first thing that we see in a country that has lost God. So this is about a country that has lost its foundation. And we should be concerned about this, because if a country has lost its foundation, then you just don't know where it's going, because it's not anchored to anything. So the first thing we see is it's lost Bible truth. Now what's happening in this passage is that they're amazed and they're staggering. Why are they amazed and staggering? Well, the answer is that they're listening to false prophets. Prophets whose eyes are sealed. Seers whose heads are covered. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. In other words, they're people who stand up and they make bold declarations about this is what God says to our country. This is what we should do in this national crisis. And they haven't a clue what they're talking about. And that's one mark of a country that has lost God. It's lost the voice of God. It's lost a good basis of direction for the country. So that's our country today. There's a loss of Bible truth. And this continues again in the next couple of verses, where it says that the false prophets, they're blind. They refuse to listen to the scroll. The scroll Isaiah's talking about is his own prophecy, the words of truth. But to them, it's nothing but words in a scroll. And if you give it to someone who can read, they'll say, you know, I can't open it because it's sealed. If you give it to someone who won't read, say, I can't read it because I can't read. There's always an excuse for not opening the Bible, is basically what Isaiah is saying here. There's always an excuse. And again, that is a country that has lost God. There's always a reason why, in people's eyes, they won't open the Bible. Why would you not open the Bible? I mean, even just, you know, I remember when I was a student in the church I was in, there was a professor of English literature in the congregation. He was a professor at Glasgow University. And he used to teach the great passages of the Authorised Version in his English class. You know, passages of great poetry, like Isaiah 53, of course. He was subtly sharing the Christian faith at the same time. But it's great literature. Why would people not open it? It's much better than Shakespeare. And there's much more richness and fullness of character and description, even as literature. Why would you not open it? There's always an excuse. Because you're going to be confronted with God. You're going to be confronted with the claims of Jesus to repent and believe. That's what we have in our society, a general malaise where people don't want to confront themselves with the truth. They won't open their Bibles. Or maybe they don't have a Bible, but it's easy to open the Bible these days because you can do it on any device. But they won't do it. And they read anything else. And that goes right through society. This is a condition of society that has lost God. On top of that, there's man-made worship. This is a very well-known passage because Jesus quotes it to the Pharisees. They come near to God with their mouths, honour him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They're man-made worship. Now, it's an absolutely fascinating statistic, and it's confirmed by various surveys, that in Scotland, half of young people today claim to pray at least once a month, which is probably higher than in the past. Now, that's extraordinary, isn't it? And it sounds encouraging. But what is it they're praying? That's the question. Because the Lord's Prayer begins with, you know, an expression of devotion to God, our Father, and of submission to God, your will be done. And it's about forgiveness, and it's about God helping us to walk with him. It's his glory that the Lord's Prayer is about. Is that how the prayer is going? Well, maybe it is for some young people, and I hope it is. But I think for many people, they pray because they want God to give them what they want. And that, you know, that is often an easy life. You know, a quick fix out of a bad situation. Or maybe it's a really serious family situation. And they're praying for someone to be healed or someone to get better. Or they're praying about the money situation or whatever. And the needs are real, but the prayer is not relating to God. It's about what I want. And that is, again, a symptom of a society that's lost God. People will still pray because God has placed eternity in man's hearts. People still have that sense he's there and still pray. But will they pray because they want to be right with God? And that's what's perhaps missing. Because if people were praying like that, there'd be a spiritual awakening in Scotland. This is true for many countries as well. Man-made worship. Here's another thing. We'll think about this one a bit more. Wisdom that is foolishness. Once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. What is the wisdom of the wise today in Scotland? Well, people who analyse these things put it something like this. And listen to this carefully. First of all, they say that the individual is the key element. The individual is the key figure in society. Not family or government or church or employees in workplaces or the individual. And what takes priority in the thinking of people today is the needs of me, what I want. Now, as it happens today, the needs of me are often not met by family, by educators, by the employer, by the church, by the government, by the lawmakers, and so on. And so, as the individual faces that, the individual wants to undermine these institutions. That's what's happening today. The individual says, I'm not getting what I want from these institutions, so I want my way, so I want to undermine them and remove them from my life. That's what's happening in our society. And one of the things that's characterized of the institutions is they have claims on truth. You know, they believe certain versions of truth in the eyes of the individual. Truth, like what's right and what's wrong. These institutions claim their truth out of self-interest. You know, like governments claim, we want you to do it this way, and they oppress the people, the individual, as governments, so that what the individual wants to do is get rid of the government, because the government's truth is oppressing the individual. Get rid of the church, because the church's truth is oppressing the individual. And so there's a move against not just Christian teaching, but against science, against rationality, against any kind of authority claims in society. Because what matters is that I get to do what I want. I get to go where I want, I get to say what I want, I get to feel what I want, I get to behave as I want. And if any authority body wants to stop me from doing that, expressing my views, my moral choices, my sexuality, that body is oppressive and it has to be opposed. That's the thinking in society today. Now, it doesn't take much analysis to realise that that is a disastrous way of approaching things. Because if the individual gets his or her way and removes the impediments to the expression of the individual, the impediments of whether it's the church or the government or school, education, you know, the scientists and what they say or whatever, then there'll be chaos. So the situation today, when you're without God, is a wisdom, the wisdom of the wise, which basically says something like, if you use the analogy of driving, you know, if I want to drive on the right-hand side of the road, then everyone else has to clear off onto the left. Okay? Or maybe, you know, it's like, I can drive on whichever side of the road I feel like today, and everyone else can do the same. That's the thinking. What right does a government have to tell me which side of the road to drive on? What right does a government have to make a distinction between left and right, to say this is left and this is right? Or this is wrong or this is right? Or this is male and this is female? What right does a government have to do that? That's the thinking. And hopefully you can see that when it's put like that. And it's crazy. And if you follow that through, then what you're basically left with is the strongest individuals oppress everyone else. And it is misery. Misery. There's no order to protect people from one another, where their interests inevitably and constantly clash. God says, and this is what was happening in Isaiah's day, everyone was doing whatever they wanted, it was right in their own eyes, the wisdom of the wise will perish, says God. You know, that kind of destructive thinking in which the individual is the most important unit in society will vanish. It's got to, because if it doesn't, there'll be disorder and chaos and misery. Now, Paul quotes this verse. You remember he quotes it in 1 Corinthians 1. And he tells us how God removes the wisdom of the wise, the wisdom of the individual that says, I get to do what I want. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, it's by the cross of Christ. Because in the cross of Christ, Jesus is not looking out for the individual. He's looking out for everyone else but himself. And he's trying to balance the demands of the real authority in the world, God, with the needs of lost human people. And he's doing that by satisfying the justice of God while paying for our sins at the same time. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have a Saviour like that. I'd love to go into that in more detail, but let's just quickly move on. In a society that's lost God, there's no accountability. And this is the sense here. You know, who sees us? They do their work in darkness. Who sees us? That sense that people have today. If you haven't got God, then whatever I do, you know, when I'm just me and the internet, or it's just me and you know, my money, no accountability. And that's why things like, well, trust is breaking down. People lie more freely. People cheat more freely in money and in relationships. Because of that sense, well, no one, as long as you don't get caught, it's okay. Well, you do get caught. You always get caught. Because God sees us. But in society, there's that loss of reality, that sense of no one sees us. God is here, and God will judge. So until we get that back in society, no matter what the government does, or no matter what policies are brought forward, you'll never deal with people's dishonesty. You'll never curtail people's lack of trustworthiness. Because if there's no sense of God, then as long as the government doesn't see me, or as long as my parents don't see me, and or as long as, you know, my employer doesn't see me, it's okay. When you have God in the situation, then whether or not the government sees me or anyone else, I'm in the presence of God. So I want to be honest. I want to treat people with respect. I want to look after the interests of others. But when there's no God, there's no accountability. That's our country. One more thing. People think far too much of their own ideas. So here's the potter being thought as like the clay, God obviously in his creation. Shall what is formed, you and me, say to what's formed it, you know, you didn't make me, God. Or you don't know anything, God. That's the thinking of today. People, as in Isaiah's day, it's just the same. Nothing new, like I said. Maybe, you know, 2,700 years ago, but it's still the same today. Without God, people think that they can question God, they can deny God, they can say what they like, and people begin to act like they are God. And today, of course, we have so much access to information that everyone thinks that they know everything. And it's very difficult, even in this situation, like in the church now, where you've got someone standing and speaking from the Word of God and people listening. You know, people don't want that, because they want to be able to say, okay, that's what you think, now let you hear what I think. But you can't do that with the Word of God, because God's Word is the Word of God. And man can't answer back to God. Man can't question God. And God is right. And God is right in a good sense. It's not like God is wanting our worst or wanting to oppress us. Actually, we need rescued. Not from God, as our society thinks. We need rescued from ourselves. Because whenever we get to be whatever we want to be, as our society is trying to be at this time, misery and chaos. And no one's perhaps, you know, analysing this in detail yet. Just why are we, as a society, you know, getting into such depths of mental health trouble? Why are we as a society just gradually losing community? We're losing connectedness, relationship. People are getting lonelier. Why? And ultimately it all comes back to the loss of God, as it was in Isaiah's day. Now don't lose hope. That's the next thing. Because things, you know, this is a long time ago. It's not like the end of the world happened here. Things are bad. But this house of cards that is the thinking, the wisdom of modern society, is going to fall. The ruthless will vanish. The mockers will disappear. All of an eye for evil will be cut down. Those who with a word make a man out to be guilty and snare the defender in court with false testimony, deprive the innocent of justice. It's going to fall. This house of cards, this deception that is the individual, is the all-important one in society. It's going to fall. And when it falls, prosperity will return. And it's a lovely picture of, you know, the fertile field becoming like a forest, you know, the desert becoming a fertile field, and things turning around, and those who have been oppressed, the deaf, the blind, the humble rejoice in the Lord, the needy rejoice. Because always in a society that loses God, it's the needy, it's those who are vulnerable who suffer as they are. More and more today, less and less people want to help the needy today, because they want to help themselves instead. Don't lose hope. Better things are ahead. People will listen to God again. People will care for the needy. And finally, the church will not be ashamed. Let's read this. This is what the Lord who redeemed Abraham says to the house of Jacob. No longer will Jacob be ashamed. No longer will their faces grow pale. When they see among them their children, the work of my hands, they will keep my name holy. They will acknowledge the holiness of the Holy One of Jacob. They will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are wayward in spirit will gain understanding. Those who complain will accept instruction. These are better days. We're back to the foundation, a sure foundation. We're back to God in his place, and us knowing that our purpose in life is not to get what we want, but our purpose in life is to find our place in the family of God and in his service. For there is true prosperity and fulfillment. And, you know, I say to you, and as I say to me, pray for this. And pray for this earnestly. Because if, you know, until we get back to this position, you know, our society is going to disintegrate. And not just our society, but really, probably actually, the whole world these days, because the world is becoming much more homogeneous now. It's becoming much more like, it's pretty much the same here as it is in Tonga, as it is in Shanghai. You know, it's all going in the same kind of direction. Here's some beautiful verses just to finish with. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it, God says. Well, that's the way it is today, but this is where we find salvation and strength. When we turn from the way we are, when we want everything for ourselves, to God, and we listen to him instead, there's peace, there's salvation. And it's not like God doesn't want to do this for us, because the Lord longs to be gracious, it says. He rises to show you compassion. The Lord's a God of justice. Blessed are those who are all who wait for him. O people of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. And that is where you and I need to come in our lives. As long as we're individuals wanting what we want, as long as we're saying, you know, I can do what I want, I can choose to be the whatever I want to be. This is what we often hear our children being taught these days. As long as you believe that, you know, we're far from God. But we need to cry for help. Because, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I could do what I liked with my body and with my money and with my time and with my relationships. I'm sorry, Lord. Because if I do what I like, others will suffer. Please help me. Please help me, Lord. Help me to repent. Help me to come to you as my foundation in my life and base my life on the beauty of what you want. And help others to do the same, Lord, please, so that our society can have a common understanding of its foundations, and so that people will treat one another well again and honestly again, and so that people will care for those in need and not oppress. Have mercy upon us, Lord. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. Let's pray for a moment together. So Lord, we bow in your presence. Your word has spoken, and we say amen to your word. Even if I fail to explain it very well or clearly, Father, your word is there for us all to read. Help us, Lord, not to make excuses, but help us to engage with it. And help us, Lord, not even to say to ourselves, well, we're not used to reading in depth, or we leave education to others or whatever. Help us, Lord, all of us, to listen on whatever level we can to your word, whether we're delving into the history or whether we're simply just listening to the words and letting them impact our lives. Please help us to listen today and have mercy on our country and bring it back, Lord, to be founded upon you, for Jesus' sake.